Every November here on the West Side, we look ahead to the gun deer season by previewing the new rules, the deer population, and the tradition that brings joy to many western Wisconsin households and tourism to many communities in the region. We'll be doing that today, but we'll be doing it for a season that's running in a parallel path with an outbreak of the COVID-19 SARS-2 virus that is peaking in this part of the country. The coronavirus and deer season. Those are our focuses today on the West Side. And a good morning to you. I'm Dean Kallenbach. Coming up in a bit, we'll hear from outdoor writer Joe Knight, deer hunting doctor Josh Baltz, and the DNR's Jess Karstens. First, though, we'll get an update on the pandemic and its effects here in western Wisconsin. The past month has seen more than 32,000 cases of COVID-19 in the 16-county area of western Wisconsin that fall within our listening area. That means 70% of all reported cases of the disease have happened in the past month here. The death toll from the virus now stands at 244 in our region. Three-quarters of the deaths have happened in the past month. And the number of patients in this region who are hospitalized has also tripled in the past month. Hardest hit in our region have been Chippewa, Barron, Rusk, and Eau Claire counties. The surge in cases is taxing healthcare resources in the region, and Bailey Rieger-Bohrer gives us that report.
As Wisconsin experiences another spike in new coronavirus cases, public services are feeling the full weight of the pandemic. Hospitals throughout western Wisconsin are reaching their maximum capacity and are struggling to keep beds open for new COVID patients. A shortage of beds isn't the only problem. Jason Craig, Northwest Wisconsin's regional chair of administration for Mayo Clinic Health Systems, says medical staff are contracting COVID at increasingly high rates, effectively minimizing their ability to treat patients.
From our perspective right now, we're at a fairly critical point. We, over the course of the last 4 to 6 weeks, have seen a very, very dramatic increase in the number of COVID positive admissions, as well as the overall positivity rate for our testing operations in Northwest Wisconsin. In addition to those two developments, our challenges have been amplified by increasing numbers of our own staff being absent from work due to COVID exposure. So we currently have close to 300 staff who are restricted from work due to either COVID exposure or COVID positivity. As of today, we have in excess of 100 admitted COVID positive hospital patients and have seen testing positivity rates in our regional testing operations routinely in excess of 20 to 25% on a daily basis, meaning that approximately 1 in 5 or 1 in 4 of the individuals that we're testing every day are resulting in a positive test. And just to quantify that a bit further, on a typical day, we are testing right around 800 to 1,000 individuals.
An area that concerns Craig is the mental and emotional toll on healthcare workers. As more and more staff are testing positive, Craig says workers are facing challenges with fatigue and stress as they work longer hours and take on more patients.
It obviously is an incredibly challenging and stressful time for them. COVID patients in the hospital are at a much higher level of acuity than what we would see typically within that larger population of our hospital patients. That, of course, means that a larger number of those patients require one-to-one care. They require more regular and frequent assessment and treatment, and that puts additional strains on our staff at a time where more of their colleagues are absent. So that means a lot of our staff are picking up extra shifts. They're working extra above their typical status, and they're doing so because of their commitment to patients. And as they certainly see patients struggling through this condition, that also takes an emotional toll.
Amy Williams, physician and executive dean of practice at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, says the surge of new COVID cases in the Midwest is stressing healthcare throughout the region.
All of our hospitals are really stretched. Our staff, which is the most critical thing in being able to care for patients, we're also concerned about our staff. As I said, the three things that we need to take care of any patient are staff, space, and supplies. We are most concerned about not being able to care for patients because of decrease in our staff due to COVID-19 reasons, whether it is they are exposed and they're out on quarantine, they're taking care of a family member who has COVID-19, or they have been infected themselves.
While healthcare workers continue the fight in their hospitals, other public services are returning to remote operations in response to the recent surge. The Eau Claire School District has announced its plan for virtual learning due to a shortage of teachers and staff caused by the spread of the coronavirus. District leaders and public health officials are reevaluating the online model early next month as they consider the impact the holidays may have on the overall health of schools. By the end of November, three UW system campuses, including UW-Eau Claire, UW-Stout, and UW-River Falls, will be moving to online instruction following Thanksgiving. Eau Claire's L.E. Phillips Memorial Senior Center and Public Library have also been temporarily closed to the public due to the influx of cases. Eau Claire County Circuit Court has issued official orders to suspend in-person proceedings. Hearings that can be conducted over Zoom or phone will commence, while trials who must participate in person require specific approval from the court. And while biotech companies such as Moderna and Pfizer are now reporting up to 95% efficacy rates in their new vaccines, health officials say it may not become available to the general public for quite a while. Stephanie Schauer, a leader of Wisconsin State Vaccine Planning, says healthcare workers will be the first to receive the vaccine, along with people living in long-term care facilities and various high-risk populations. But while a COVID vaccine won't be available for a while, Craig says there are still ways that people living in western Wisconsin can alleviate pressure from healthcare systems and keep themselves and those around them safe. Craig says hand washing, mask wearing, and staying home remain effective. But he says another important element of defending western Wisconsin's healthcare system is for residents to receive their regular flu shots.
It's easy to forget that the flu vaccine is readily available and out there, and is critically, critically important as we look to minimize any potential exposures to respiratory illness to patients throughout the region and throughout the nation. And most importantly, as we come upon the holiday season, COVID fatigue is real, and it's affecting people in a lot of different ways. And trust me, we can relate, and certainly all of our staff can relate, but this is not a good time to let down our guard.
Craig says western Wisconsin residents need to be diligent in limiting their interactions with medium or large groups, particularly over the next week during the Thanksgiving holiday. From Eau Claire, Bailey Riegerbohr, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you, Bailey. We're back now on the west side to talk for the rest of the hour about the gun deer season that opens tomorrow in Wisconsin. Joining me now are Joe Knight. He's a longtime outdoor editor at the Eau Claire Leader-Telegram. He is also an elected member of the Eau Claire County Board of Supervisors, serving on the Committee on Parks and Forests, the Land Information Council, and the Seven Mile Creek Committee, among others. He's been a contributor to WPR on Outdoor Matters since this show first went on the air almost 19 years ago, and it's good to have him back. Joe Knight, thank you for joining us.
Oh, pleased to be here. One point, I'm no longer with the Leader Telegram.
When
I was a newspaper reporter, we weren't allowed to sit on local
government. Yeah, longtime former outdoor editor of the Eau Claire Leader-Telegram. Right, that makes sense. Also joining us for the next few minutes is Dr. Joshua Baltz. He's an orthopedic surgeon at the Mayo Clinic Health Services location in Barron and also the clinic in Rice Lake. He's an avid deer hunter. Josh Baltz, welcome to the West Side.
Thanks, Dean. Really happy to be here and share some thoughts and memories with you guys.
So you're welcome to join the conversation. Have you changed your hunting plans due to the pandemic? Are you taking any special measures to protect yourself? Or just another hunting season for you? Call 800-228-5615 if you'd like to join the conversation. That's 800-228-5615. Or you can email ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org. So, Dr. Baltz, we'll get to talking about hunting during a pandemic in a bit, but you work in what has become a real hotspot in the pandemic. We heard earlier from Hannah Haynes in the newscast that Barron County is one of the two most active counties in the state. It's seen the number of cases triple in the last month, and 30 of the 36 deaths in the county from COVID-19 have happened in the past 30 days. So we just also heard Bailey's report talking about the difficulties being faced by hospitals and healthcare workers. Talk about what you're seeing and what your colleagues are experiencing there in Barron County.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, what we're experiencing is a lot of that, what's been reported previously. Our hospitals are full, both here in Northland, up in Barron, as well as in Eau Claire, with an increasing percentage of patients that are testing positive for COVID-19. This is really putting stress on the hospital system, as well as, you know, the community and staff. Initially, when the pandemic began, we didn't have a lot of cases, and so there was questions and confusion about a lot of the procedures being implemented. And but now it's really arrived here with a vengeance, and we're seeing our hospitals fill up and ICUs fill up. For me, particularly as an orthopedic surgeon, you know, we've had to curtail a lot of the things that we're normally able to do to help patients. And so from my perspective, it's really had a secondary detrimental impact on patients, because a lot of the things that we're normally able to do to help people, we're not able to do right now, because we're rightfully having to focus all of our efforts on combating the pandemic.
Yeah. I'm wondering, Bailey's report talked about the number of healthcare workers themselves who have become infected. I think I saw a figure yesterday, 3 to 5% of the current active COVID cases in Wisconsin are healthcare workers. You know, as you talk to your colleagues who are on the front lines of this sort of thing, are you seeing that infection rate in any of your colleagues? But more importantly, you know, how is their mental health through all this?
Yeah, I would think, you know, obviously it's at the top of everybody's mind right now. It, you know, it's in the news, and we see it every day when we come into the hospital, get the updates on the number of patients that we have. You know, it's definitely, you know, a little bit scary for some people, especially people with pre-existing conditions that are at high risk, you know, if they were to contract the illness. But, you know, people are doing their best. You know, they're picking up extra shifts. They're kind of shifting and moving to other areas to help out where needed. And I think everyone's doing their best to kind of, you know, put the nose to the ground and work, really.
Yeah. Well, COVID or not, Wisconsin's gun deer season starts tomorrow. And in fact, license sales are up about 10% from last year. Joe Knight, any thoughts about why we expect more hunters in the woods this year despite a pandemic?
Well, we've seen kind of across the board more people doing outdoor things this summer. Use of county parks, visits to county parks is way up. I think it's all these outdoor activities are something you can do close to home, and they're not that expensive usually. So there's been a general upswing in outdoor activities.
Deer hunting is, on one hand, something of a solitary venture, but in other ways, at least traditionally for many deer hunters, it's a very social event, with visions of card playing, adult beverages, smart talk in crowded deer camps or taverns. Dr. Baltz, what are the keys to a safe hunt in 2020 that people might not normally have to fit into their hunting plans?
Yeah, I would say, you know, normally as an orthopedic surgeon, when we're talking about hunting safety, we're talking about things like falls, you know, tree stand safety, obviously gun safety as well. But, you know, this year it's, you know, extremely important for patients to hear the message about safety with COVID-19. And really the strongest message that you can give is that the majority of the infections that we're seeing are in moderate to large groups, especially in people that are close together and not practicing social distancing as well as masks. Things that we can all do and that I'll be doing when I go out hunting are things like staying away from people, six feet minimum, even when you're outdoors, but especially when you're indoors. I'll be wearing a mask when I'm outdoors around my immediate family who I'll be hunting with. Hunting as close to home as you can, traveling to or from areas that are high risk for COVID outbreaks is obviously not advised, and this is, you know, becoming less and less able to even find areas that aren't high risk right now.
Yeah.
you know, washing hands, using hand sanitizer, all that kind of stuff is super important as well. But really trying to avoid these medium and large groups that we know spread illness, you know, even in people that really have no symptoms or minimal symptoms is particularly problematic.
Joe Knight, I'm wondering if you're aware of any hunters who quarantined in advance of the hunt to allow themselves to enjoy that full deer camp experience.
I have not heard of any who have quarantined, no. And I'm not, it's good to have Dr. Balz on because I'm not sure a lot of hunters have got the memo about this. I was reading an essay or an editorial in the leading Wisconsin Outdoor magazine, and the editor was, you know, saying, well, you know, maybe there's not quite as many deer in northern Wisconsin where I hunt, but it will sure be great to get together with the gang, you know, and play some poker and see everybody. And even Wisconsin Public Radio, you had a really nice piece on Wednesday on Wisconsin Life, you know, that folksy segment that you do, and it was about deer camp from Ron Weber, who's a great writer for Forrester.
Yes.
And, you know, how a simple cabin becomes transformed into deer camp, and the hunters come in by ones and twos, and the air was filled with laughter. And any other year, that's a great nostalgic piece. But this year, it sounds like a recipe for a super spreader event. So I'm wondering, probably the part about everybody quarantining in advance is going to cut out in the editing accidentally.
Yeah, I think Ron recorded that a year or two ago, too. Josh Balz, considering the surge of COVID, is the idea of a hunting party just out of the question?
Yeah, I mean, I really think that people should think very strongly about these large groups getting together. You know, it's something that we all love about hunting season is, you know, it's always, you know, for me, it's always been more about the camaraderie with, you know, friends and family, and obviously the hunting's fun as well, but it's, you know, it's extremely important, especially right now, that people understand that the hospital systems are facing a huge surge of patients, and you know, we're doing a good job of caring for these patients as we go, but any activities like deer camp that put people at high risk of these super spreader events is going to even stress the system more.
You can join the conversation by calling 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Got an email this morning from Randy in Dunn County. He says, I've been hunting on opening morning with my dad, who's 83, since I was 12. That's 40 years. I won't be hunting with him this year, and he'll be on his property, and I'll be on mine. I really want my dad to be around next year so we can hunt again. Not a question there, but quite a sentiment, Josh Balz.
Yeah, I mean, we all have these great memories of, you know, when we grow up, you know, people that we spend time with hunting and, you know, the great memories of camaraderie, but it's, you know, it's extremely important that that we, you know, consider the impact of spreading infection to other people that we might be around, and, you know, showing respect for them is that one thing that I like to talk about a lot. You know, wearing a mask and social distancing, it's not, you know, it's not necessarily about the individual. You know, some of us are low risk for severe illness from COVID-19. Some of us are higher risk, but it's really, in my mind, a respect thing, you know, wearing a mask, social distancing, respect for people that are around us. And, you know, it's especially important when we're talking about family and friends that are at high risk. And, you know, although it's not what we want or fun, but for people that are especially high risk, it might be better for them to take a 1-year break from the hunting camp and consider hunting in isolation like that.
You know, travel is another thing that we've been advised to restrict. Barron County has some nice hunting land that attracts folks from southern Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Illinois. Of course, that's the case of much of our listening area. Josh Balz, could this hunt end up being a super spreader event for that reason?
Well, it's certainly possible. You know, one of the more confounding things about COVID-19 is that is that people seem to be able to spread the disease quite readily, whether or not they are experiencing any symptoms. And so this brings about a lot of problems when you're in groups like this and you have people traveling from other areas and there's not the ability to, you know, necessarily do contact tracing or, you know, even to really know where people have been. So really the safest thing to do is to hunt near the area where you live. And that's, you know, that's what I'll be doing.
Joe Knight, you had a question.
I had a question for Dr. Baltz. If a person shows up opening day with their usual deer crew and is exposed to the virus and gets it, are they going to be passing along in Thanksgiving? Is a 4 or 5 day incubation period? Is that disease already, can it be spread by the time Thanksgiving rolls around? Because I can see this is being kind of one big event, deer season leading to, you know, it's already in Wisconsin tradition, heavily tied in with Thanksgiving. And I'm just wondering if it's going to aid to the spread that way.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly is a strong possibility that someone's exposed over this weekend to COVID-19 and the virus has time and, you know, that they would be able to spread it over Thanksgiving. And, you know, like I said before, even before showing any symptoms, it's been shown that people can spread the disease to people around them in close proximity.
Joe Knight, hand washing, not easy to do in the woods, so it seems like hand sanitizer would be the logical option. But is that going to result in a telltale scent that's going to keep the deer away?
I never thought of that. A lot of hunters already pack hand sanitizer along because if you have to field dress a deer, that's kind of a messy business.
Yeah.
And they often bring towels and hand sanitizer along, excuse me. I don't know about that. I guess it's another thing we can blame as to why we didn't get our deer, you know.
and we talked a little bit about Thanksgiving, but food is such a big part of the hunting season. And that, of course, happens during Thanksgiving week. But potluck meals, shared finger foods, that's kind of commonplace, part of what we're talking about. Pretty much a no-no this year, isn't it, Josh Baltz?
Yeah, I would say as much as you can limit shared food, because we know that, COVID spreads when people are in close proximity to each other. So being able to kind of pack your own food and limiting shared food as much as you can is certainly advisable and can help decrease the risk that you have both to yourself as well as to the people around you.
Dr. Baltz, I'd like to step away from COVID concerns just for a minute to talk about other safety concerns with any deer hunt when you have people climbing trees and handling loaded guns. You mentioned in your role as an orthopedic surgeon, that's often the sort of advice you'd be talking about. Stuff's still going to be happening. What are the keys to avoid injury while hunting?
The most important ways that you can avoid injury while hunting is if you're up in a tree stand, making sure that the tree stand is in good repair is kind of step one. You know, using safety harnesses and those sorts of things when you're up in the tree stand can help decrease the risk of a fall. Avoiding alcohol as much as you can when you're out hunting. You know, we know things like frostbite, hypothermia, as well as injuries and just kind of bad decisions can happen more frequently when that's involved. And then, you know, other simple things like basic first aid skills, having those or basic first aid kits. And then, you know, the most important thing when you're carrying a rifle to treat it as if it's loaded.
We established early on that you indeed are a hunter, and before we let you go, I'd be interested in hearing how you plan to hunt this year, considering and how is that different than what you normally do?
Yeah, we've really cut down the size of our deer camp. I'll only be hunting with my immediate family this year. I'm going to be wearing a mask the entire time, which, especially if you're outside, that's probably not too bad of an idea to keep warm anyway. You know, the thing I love about hunting is, you know, the ability to be outdoors, and so I'm really going to spend as much time as I can out in the woods and, you know, kind of treating hunting as a little bit of a social distancing event. But that's, you know, those kind of precautions are what I'm going to be doing when I'm out in the woods to try to keep myself and everybody else around me safe.
Josh Baltz, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Dr. Joshua Baltz is with, he's an orthopedic surgeon with the Mayo Clinic Health System in Barron, at the clinic in Barron, and Rice Lake, and with, at the Barron Medical Center. And thank you for joining us today. Happy hunting. Outdoor writer Joe Knight stays with us, and coming up, we'll be joined by Jess Karstens of the DNR to look ahead to the upcoming deer season. Are you hunting this year? What's your motivation? Food, fun, fellowship, or a little bit of all three? Join us at 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615, or ideas at WPR.org. Ideas at WPR.org. I'm Dean Kallenbach. This is The West Side on the Ideas Network. We're back now on The West Side talking about the gun deer season, which begins tomorrow in Wisconsin. Outdoor writer Joe Knight stays with us, and we're joined now by Jess Karstens. Jess Karstens is wildlife manager with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources based in the Eau Claire office of the DNR. Jess Karstens, welcome to The West Side.
Thank you, Dean. Glad to be here.
So I'll open our segment with a question that I don't mean to chase you away with a hard question, but considering the governor's executive order, which he issued last week, advising Wisconsinites to stay home and avoid public gatherings due to the COVID outbreak, should the 2020 hunt have been canceled?
I don't believe so. You know, obviously we're hearing a lot about what's going on across our state and across the nation for that matter. But, you know, as you've been talking about, the deer hunting season in Wisconsin is a important event and very rich in tradition and you know, a very important management tool that we have for managing our deer herd. So, in light of the fact that you know, in many cases, it's hunting is an event that can take place on an individual level with distancing and whatnot in place, I think it's reasonable to, you know, to carry on with the season.
Are you aware if there are any conversations about maybe implementing some restrictions from the part of the Department of Natural Resources?
No, I'm not aware of any conversations along those lines. You know, we're proceeding with the season as scheduled. Just certainly recommending that, as you and the doctor were talking about earlier, that people you know, are aware of what's going on, obviously, and follow the advice of our healthcare experts. They're the ones that are in the know better than anyone as far as what's going on with the virus in our state. And just heeding that advice, masking when they're around other people, maintaining, you know, the 6 feet or more of social distance when in the company of others that are not from your household, washing hands frequently, all of those sorts of things. And, you know, along with that, perhaps altering their plans a little bit, again, as you talked about earlier, maybe not traveling as far from home, looking at hunting options or opportunities that are closer to home, maybe exploring some public lands that are close to home, or talking with your neighbors, you know, properties that maybe you haven't hunted on before, to see if you can get on some of those properties that will allow you to stay home and not travel across the state.
Go ahead, Joe. Jump in.
Just one point. Among the changes made during a reevaluation of the state's hunting rules was registering deer can now be done by phone. And I know a lot of us have been critical for that. It's almost like we're on the honor system, so we're wondering if those registration numbers aren't as accurate as they used to be. But in a time of COVID, that sounds like a heck of an idea. You know, you don't have to go in and wait in line to have your deer registered. You just phone it in from the field.
Yeah, it's an unforeseen convenience or benefit of the change that was put into place a number of years back. To your point about questioning the accuracy of the numbers, all the research that we've done, we have no reason to believe that there's you know, any significant change in the compliance rates with the old version of in-person registration versus the current system that we have in place, which is predominantly online and telephone registration. But you're absolutely right, Joe. Having the online and telephone versions available to us right now certainly mitigates what would have been a huge hurdle to clear had we still been under the old system of in-person registration. I recall back in my early days working in-person registration in aging stations and having, you know, it would be nothing to have 50 people or more gathered in a parking lot as we registered and aged deer. So those type of environments would obviously be problematic in a year like we're having this year.
Yeah, those of us been around for a while, those are images that, were part of the whole deer hunting experience. Even for those of us who didn't hunt, you'd get a chance, you see a gathering, you get in, hey, you know, let's look at your deer kind of thing, kind of a celebration of the season, even if you weren't a hunter yourself. 800-228-5615 is the number you can use to join the conversation. We'd invite you to do that, 800-228-5615. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Did have one caller who didn't want to stay on the line, but he encouraged hunters to wear masks for safety, just like they'd wear blaze orange for safety, and that's an interesting comparison. Also want to bring in another caller who's been waiting for a long time. Vern from Boyd is on the line. Vern, thanks for your patience. Good morning.
As the deer, they're colorblind. But, the question, like, now we shipped some chicken to China, and it had the virus, and it was raw, you know, frozen. So the question is, if somebody has this disease, can it transfer to the meat? That's one question. Two, you got to go to the toilet. It's safer to go in the woods than it is to go in a tavern or gas station. But go about 100 feet off your trail, and the deer will avoid that spot, and they'll come back to where you are.
A couple of good tips from Vern. Thank you, Vern. I appreciate the call. Is there any evidence of coronavirus being able to spread to deer? Has anybody talked about that?
None that I'm aware of. We have heard a little bit early in the year about cats in particular, and mink another species that I've heard with some, coronavirus or COVID transmission, but I have not heard anything in regards to deer.
Jess Karsten's sales for gun deer licenses were up about 10% over last year. Is that surprising to you?
For licenses, no, not really. Since the health situation began back in the spring, we've seen sort of a trend throughout the seasons. As the seasons have progressed, state park use has been up. Fishing license sales have been up. Sales of recreational vehicles, campers, and those types of things have all been up. Our lives have been flipped a little bit from what we would normally spend our time doing in the summertime. Myself, as a parent of young kids, my summers were often filled with ball tournaments and things like that. All those things didn't happen this past summer. So for myself personally, my family spent more time on the water in our kayaks and things of that nature. So it's not really surprising to me that people have turned to the outdoors, outdoor recreation, as an alternate way to spend their time during this health situation. So right along with that, turkey license sales were up in the spring along with our harvest. So it would stand to reason that deer season would kind of follow suit with that.
Joel Knight, I'm wondering if you think the economy might have had any influence on the decision by more people to hunt this year.
It may be contributed to the overall increase in outdoor activity that we're talking about. If you don't have a job, you can still, assuming you already have a gun in the closet, you can, for a relatively modest fee, you can go out and maybe secure some meat, maybe at least have 9 days of recreation, that fairly healthy recreation. Mm-hmm. I think we're not concerned about being out in the woods. It's so much the après-ski stuff, the social stuff, where people might pass on this virus. So having a reduced family income because someone lost a job or had their hours cut, or the need to get meat that might some wholesome meat that might be driving people a little more this year.
Yeah. Hey, I understand there are some bonus tags available in some parts of the state. Jess Carstens, how does one go about exploring that option?
The easiest way is to simply log on to the DNR website at dnr.wi.gov and select the hunting tab and deer hunting. And in the middle of your page, you'll see a link for antlerless harvest authorization availability. And a nice little table will pop up with every county in the state listed, and along with that, the number of remaining public harvest authorizations as well as private harvest authorizations for each county. So that'll tell you if the tags are still available for the land type that you're hunting on, and then you would simply need to log into your Go Wild account and follow through the process accordingly and purchase a bonus tag for that county.
Joe?
You can do all of this online. I'm going to be hunting in the farmland part of Eau Claire County, and I went to buy one license and I ended up with three. You buy your buck license, and last year they gave me an extra permit for an antlerless deer. This year they gave me two, so they're trying to reduce the deer population, I guess, in the western part of Eau Claire County. The other thing, maybe Jess will talk about this a little bit, is we're apparently now going to have a holiday hunt in the western two-thirds of Eau Claire County. And what else did they do? Did they make any other changes, Jess?
No, that was really it for Eau Claire County, Joe. You mentioned the tags that you purchased or that you secured with your license purchase. That's a common practice with license sales through the Farmland Zone. The CDAC, or the County Deer Advisory Council for each county, when they go through their process in the spring of setting the harvest quota for each county, they also look at how many of those free tags, those antlerless tags, to provide to each hunter with their license purchase. And as you mentioned, in Eau Claire County this year, that was two tags. So when you buy your gun deer license, you'll get your gun buck license along with two antlerless harvest authorizations for the farmland portion of the county. And when you buy your license, you need to specify whether you want those antlerless tags to be valid on private land or public land. So every county in the Farmland Zone goes through that process, and there's a variety of approaches in each county, and some may only make one free tag, antlerless tag available. Others may allow more. Buffalo County, for example, has three antlerless tags available. Hmm. So Chippewa County and the Farmland portion of the county made one free tag available.
Before we go to break, let's talk broadly about the population of deer in western Wisconsin. It sounds like, especially in some of those counties, there are plenty, and they're trying to get that herd thinned out.
Yeah, generally speaking, across the farmland zone, which is the majority of western Wisconsin, we have a very strong, healthy deer population. When the council CDEC set their population objectives, most of the counties in western Wisconsin are looking at a maintain objective or even a reduce objective, so meaning that they're trying to hold the population steady or even move it downward a little bit, and that's indicative of a population that's very strong, oftentimes even increasing in numbers. So the CDAC is trying to utilize tools that will help move the population in a downward direction for a multitude of reasons, protecting our forest regeneration, minimizing agricultural damage, reducing car deer accidents and things like that. So when we see objectives of maintain and decrease, that's indicative of relatively high deer numbers and a sentiment from our County Deer Advisory Councils that populations need to be brought a little bit more into check with our social and biological carrying capacity.
That's the voice of Jess Carstens. He's a wildlife manager in the Eau Claire office of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Also with us, outdoor writer Joe Knight, Are you planning to hunt? Let's hear your story. Ideas at WPR.org. Ideas at WPR.org or 800-228-5615. 800-228-5615. On this gun deer hunting eve preview of the season, I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is the West Side on the Ideas Network. We're back on the West Side with outdoor writer Joe Knight and Eau Claire-based DNR wildlife manager Jess Karstens. And we're talking about the 2020 gun deer season, which begins tomorrow. Jess Karstens, we know that many schools have gone and are soon going fully virtual with their classes while the pandemic surges. The DNR requires new hunters under the age of 18 to take hunter safety courses. I wonder, were they in person this year? And if not, how do you teach gun safety virtually?
Yeah, there's an online hunter safety course that has been opened up to anyone, regardless of age now, that they can take. The important stipulation there is that the in-person field day is still required. So in order to find out if there's a field day anywhere near you, again, searching hunter safety on our website would lead you down the path to figuring that out. But yeah, certainly things have changed. I'm not aware of any local hunter safety classes that were held this past season. So again, that's a large contributor to why the online option was opened up to anyone this year to get those people who need hunter safety the ability or the option to actually take the class yet this fall. Again, with the caveat that the in-person field day is still necessary.
There are a lot of empty shelves in stores that sell ammunition. That's been the case for a while now. Joe Knight, what have you been hearing from hunters about their access to ammo?
I've heard some people have had trouble, you know, buying the shells they wanted. I know one hunter was down to six shells for this season, and he usually shoots about three deer, so he's going to have to aim carefully.
Mm-hmm.
You won't be able to waste too many sighting in.
Adds to the sport.
I guess so. Yeah. Well, before we let Jess go, we ought to ask him about the county deer committees.
Yeah.
And I think they're due this December to reevaluate their three-year management goals for their counties. Can you speak to that, Jess?
Yes, you're correct, Joe. Every 3 years, we go through a process with each county to reestablish a new three-year population objective, and that process is kicking off here in a few weeks. The meetings in each county will be taking place during the weeks between December 7th and the 15th or 18th or something like that, so in the first couple weeks of December. Again, the objective there is to establish that new three-year population objective. So those meetings will be taking place virtually again like they did this past spring. We've got a Skype option this time around. Everything was a teleconference or conference call back in the spring. This time we're using Skype, so we'll have the capability for a little bit more interaction with the public this time around, as well as possibly the ability to show graphics on our computer screens. Important to note that if you don't have a computer and want to listen in on those meetings, there is also a call-in option with the Skype link for those calls.
The best way to find out about those on your county's website, on the DNR website, how does one learn about how to get in on those?
Yeah, DNR website, if you go to our homepage and search CDAC in the search box.
CDAC.
CDAC,
right?
Correct. It'll take you to the County Deer Advisory Council page where you can select your county from the drop-down box, and your meeting date and time will be there along with the list of all of the council members for your county in case you are so inclined to reach out to them and ask them any questions or have a conversation with them. Also, there is a link to all the metrics that the council uses to base their recommendation on for the upcoming objective.
You know, we've gone this long, and we We've talked a lot about virtual stuff, but there's other new technology affecting hunting. Joe Knight, you and I have talked before the show. I understand you've been using some new tech apps that actually apply to hunting.
Yeah, I've been using the DNR app that you mentioned. One thing I liked in that was it had I like to hunt for woodcock and grouse with my English setters, and it had in their mapping of the type of habitat, you know, here in the state is where the best woodcock cover is based on the age of the age and type of the vegetation, and here's where you can go grouse hunting. And I found that the grouse and woodcock don't always agree with the DNR on that, but it gives you a place to start if you're going there. And the other thing I've been playing with this year, I'm not real adept with technology, but there's something called Onyx Hunt, not to give a commercial for the company, but it's kind of like a walking plat book. You can ask it, well, where am I, first of all? It's always good to know. But whose property am I on? It helps me keep on the public land site of boundaries. It does tell you the name of the landowners in adjacent property in case you want to knock on the door and ask them if you can hunt there or just to avoid trespassing. So That's been kind of a neat development.
Hey, you know, we've got about 3 minutes left, and we have yet to talk about chronic wasting disease, which I think is probably a record for the last 10 years on this show. We've talked a lot about the effect of the coronavirus pandemic on hunting in 2020, but usually on these shows, we're talking about chronic wasting disease. What is the CWD outlook in this year's hunt, Jess Karstens?
I'm glad we had time to get to this yet, Dean. It's an important local topic, as we do have CWD surveillance areas set up in both Eau Claire and Dunn County as a result of recent positive detections in both counties. So it's definitely something that we want to stay cognizant of this year, as we do have surveillance goals in both of those areas. Again, maps of these areas are located on our website if you want to find specifically where they're at, and if you're in one of them, landowners that fall within our focus areas may be eligible for landowner permits to further assist with surveillance in these areas. So, again, it's a very important topic. And as far as testing goes, anyone who hunts in Wisconsin, regardless of your county, will have the option or the ability to submit their deer for testing. So it's an option that's out there for everyone. We've got numerous self-service kiosks out there for people to use, as well as cooperators, in some cases meat markets or taxidermists, that are capable of either collecting a deer head from a hunter, or in some cases actually removing the lymph nodes right there at the facility. So we've got a number of options for people who are interested in having their deer tested for CWD. Again, those kiosks are great. Obviously, with the health situation, we ask that if anyone is at a kiosk and you show up and there's someone there already, to respect their personal space and provide that 6 feet of social distance and mask around them and so on and so forth. Wash your hands prior to using the kiosk and after you're done, things of that nature. But yes, CWD is a very important local issue and something that we hope people will remain aware of and submit samples.
Jess Karstens, Wildlife Manager for the Department of Natural Resources, thanks for joining us today.
Bet, thank you.
And Joe Knight, always great to have you along. Have a happy hunt.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks also to Bailey Rieger-Bohrer for her COVID-19 surge update. On-air production for today's show came from Catherine Thomas. Kate Spranger and Patrick Eikens handle publicity and our web presence. Next week, I step aside for my friend Shireen Seward, who will be hosting an Americana show featuring Central and Western Wisconsin musicians. I'm Dean Kallenbach. Thanks for listening. Have a blessed Thanksgiving. This is The West Side on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.